Jesus says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. As the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to the mind, it's through faith that we are able to take hold of him that we would see Jesus. Because we look to Jesus as our example as we eagerly await his second coming. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Spirit to be with us this morning, Lord. And I pray that you will open our minds and our ears, Lord, that we will hear you speak to us this morning. Father, I pray that you will quicken my mind and that you'll place your words into my mouth. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. This world is telling us that Jesus is about to come. And God wants to do something special in our lives. He wants to change us. He wants to prepare us not only to see him at his second coming, but Christ wants us to see him now. We're told in God's word that every eye will see him when he returns, the wicked and the saved. That's found in Revelation 1:7. The key to determining which side we will be standing on is if we would choose to see Jesus now. When I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I chose to step outside of God's will for my life. My parents became Adventists when I was 13, and I was baptized by the age of 14. So I knew that the behavior I was participating in was not in accordance with God's will for me. After I struggled back and forth for a while with my conscience, with my angel, with whatever you want to call it, fighting with the Lord, I made a conscious decision to choose the behavior over him. Once I made that decision, it was just a matter of time. I was no longer going to church. I wasn't keeping the Sabbath anymore. But God was faithful. He didn't leave me. He continued to speak to me, to trying to encourage me and woo me back to his side. He never left me. He sent several people to talk to me and to place my sins before me. But I chose to ignore them as I had chosen to ignore God. And then one night, I had a dream. In the dream, it was during the day and I was outside. I decided to look up. I'm not really sure why I looked up in the sky, but when I looked up, I could see in the far off distance a black cloud. It caught my attention because the day was so nice that this cloud was strange. I kept observing this cloud, and as I was watching, it appeared to be coming closer and closer to the earth. And then my thoughts were taken to what I had learned in my youth through the spirit of prophecy regarding the description when Christ would return. And I remembered that she said that there would be a black cloud in the sky that would grow bigger and bigger. As the cloud got closer, I could see that it was Jesus surrounded by all his angels. And then the scripture came to my mind where we're told that there will be gnashing of teeth and anguish and people running to and fro, crying for rocks to fall on them. And all of a sudden, all of that pain and anguish filled my body because I knew that I would not be going with my Savior. And that was the dream. When I woke up, I didn't remember the dream. I had three small children at the time, and As usual, I would get them up and get them ready for school. While I was in the bathroom getting myself ready for work, I was standing at the sink combing my hair when the Holy Spirit brought the dream back to my mind. And all of a sudden, all of that anguish and pain that I felt in my dream, I began to feel. So much so that my knees became weak and I had to grab hold of the kitchen sink to keep from falling. And I thought, oh my God, I have to come back to you before it's too late. At that time, I started praying and asking God to deliver me from my sin. It took a while, I'm sad to say, to be completely delivered. I started going to church right away, and I found myself sitting in the sanctuary, and the whole time my thoughts were everywhere else, thinking about what I could be doing, what I could be accomplishing, rather than sitting there in church. And then the Holy Spirit would bring the dream back to my mind. And so my prayer became, Jesus, please give me the desire to want to be with your people again. Jesus, please give me the desire to want to be in your presence again. I committed in my heart that I would never leave church again. No matter what sin I fell to, I would take them to Christ and ask him to help me overcome them. Because I knew that once I separated myself from the people of God, that I was fair game for the enemy. We will see Jesus again. Which side are you going to be standing on? Now is the time for us to hide ourselves under the wings of the Almighty God. Turn with me to John chapter 14. In John, the 14th chapter, we see the Christian's hope. This is something that Jesus said to his disciples of old, and it applies to us, his disciples today. This is a promise that should encourage you. The Bible says in John, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This is the Christian's hope. When we find ourselves facing the many trials of this world, we should be able to still have peace because of this promise. Over the past several years, our world as we knew it has changed. While many are running to and fro in fear, we should have within us a peace that passes all understanding. Because Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, the promise is, I have gone there and I am preparing a place for you. He says, the promise is, if I go there, that I am going to come back. And when I come back, I am going to be looking for you. This gives the Christian hope. This gives the Christian the ability to deal with the issues of life differently than the world. We have to keep our minds focused on this promise, because if we allow our minds to become focused on the things around us in this world, we can become a person of despair rather than a person of hope. The world doesn't need to see a people full of despair. They need to see a people filled with hope. They need to see a people that have a peace that passes all understanding. Because if they don't see that in our lives, then there is no reason for them to listen to what comes out of our lips. The Christian's hope is that we would see Jesus. Jesus is so good. While in John 14, he encourages us, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust that I am working on your behalf and that I'm coming back. In addition to this promise that Jesus gave us in John 14, he also gave us counsel that could be found in John's the 17th chapter. In John the 17th chapter, Jesus is now drawing close to his death. Jesus is now interceding on behalf of his disciples, not only the disciples of his day, but the disciples you and I. Notice what he says in John 17, verse 18. In John 17, verse 18, Jesus says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Jesus says, Father, as you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. This was not just a prayer for the disciples, but it is a counsel on how we are to work for Jesus. When Jesus came on the scene, there was something that he used to wake up his people. Jesus knew that his people were not living his message. Jesus knew that there was a work that he had to do within the church as well as without. And the work that Jesus had to do within is found in Mark 1. What's so beautiful is that the same thing that Jesus used to do the work within the church is the same thing that Jesus used to do the work without. In Mark 1, chapter 14, Mark 1, verse 14, it reads, now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus came preaching the gospel. He called people to repentance, but there was a chief ingredient that he used in his gospel message. The verse tells us here that the chief ingredient was time. And another way of saying time is saying prophecy. Jesus would use prophecy to wake people up. And when they understood what time it was, it would help them to do something very special. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles, you are going to see why God believes in using prophecy. 1 Chronicles, verse 12. Looking at verse 32. 1 Chronicles verse chapter 12 verse 32 reads, and of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. So according to the scripture, what we see the benefit of knowing time is that it helps us to know what we are to do. If we don't know what time it is, we will not know what we should be doing. And if we don't know what we should be doing, we cannot finish the work. That's why Jesus says, I need my people to know what time it is. Prophecy is being fulfilled. And God wants his people to wake up and notice, take notice of the time that we're living in so that we would see him. There's something that keeps coming to my mind, that kept coming to my mind over and over when the COVID-19 started. The churches were closed and we were being told that we had to stay home. And this story kept coming back to my mind. And it's found in Luke, the 21st chapter, where God tells his people that the sign for them to flee is when they see the city being surrounded by the enemy. He tells his people when they see the city being surrounded to get out immediately. Don't go back to your houses for anything. Just leave. And when the army came and surrounded the city, do you remember how the city was surrounded and they couldn't get out? And then all of a sudden, the army retreated for a short while, and God's people were able to flee from the city, and not one of God's people were destroyed in the destruction. I believe God wanted to wake us up during COVID-19. Yes, Satan meant it for bad, but God wanted to wake his people up. We understand that he left this world and he is now doing a work for us in heaven. But before he left, he prayed to the Father on our behalf. Jesus said, as I sent them, as you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. Just like Jesus had a work to do, Jesus has a work to do in heaven, we understand that there is a work for us to do here. And we can't do this work any old way. He said, as you have sent me, so I send them into the world. This is his counsel for us. We all know that the Sunday law will soon be enforced. And just as the city being surrounded by the Roman army was the wake-up call for God's people to get ready to flee, to get out, COVID-19, I believe, was a wake-up call for us for the enforcement of the Sunday law. COVID-19 was not just here in America. This was worldwide. Could it be that the powers to be were doing a trial run on enforcing laws? I believe that God intended to wake us up out of our sleep. And as we saw the churches being forced closed through COVID-19, we know that the time is coming. We won't have this privilege to come together on Sabbath morning. And there is a work that we have to do in this short window to prepare souls to be ready. Our topic is we would see Jesus. Oh, that we would see Jesus now. And we read his promise to return, which is the Christian's hope. We also know from Revelation 1:7 that every eye will see him when he returns, the wicked and the saved. Now we want to look at what can we do to assist Christ in ensuring that we are among his people and not the wicked when he returns. We're told in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, we're told that Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 2, that Jesus is looking. He's looking for a people to work for him. In Hebrews, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, who is the joy that was before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What we can do in this window of time before Jesus comes is to keep our eyes focused on him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we find from studying God's word that Jesus had a certain mindset. And if we're going to be in this world and work as Christ worked in this world, then we must also have the mind of Christ. That's important. Proverbs 23, turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 7, is something that we should pay close attention to. This is a principle that is eternal. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now, in Hebrew, the word heart means mind. So as a man thinks in his mind, so is he in his character, in his behavior. As a person thinks in their mind, so they will be in their character. The more we understand the mind of Christ in his work, then the better we will be able to fulfill the prayer of Christ to work as he worked. It's not enough to work by doing mechanical deeds. It's imperative that we have the mind of Christ, the motivator to the work that Christ has called us to do. So let's see what was the mind of Christ. Let's turn to John chapter 4. As we look at the mind of Christ in his work, you see what Christ wants is to come back. But he has given us a work to do before he returns, and we cannot do that work any old way. We must do the work just as he's done it. It must be done through his mind. In John, the 4th chapter, and we'll start reading at verse 31. We see that Jesus is ministering to a woman at the well. And he begins to tell her about the wonderful words of life. And as he tells her, she gets so excited that she can't contain herself. And she immediately runs out to her fellow Samaritans and starts to tell them how she met Jesus. And then the disciples come back and they realize that Jesus hadn't eaten, so they know that he must be hungry. In verse 31, it says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work." Notice the mindset of Christ. He says, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work." The mind of Christ in his work was that in everything that he did, it was designed to finish the work. You know that it is possible that we can do a work that is not designed to finish the work. It's possible to do a work, but the work that we are doing, if we carefully look at it, we will see that it is not a work that is designed to finish the work. Everything that Jesus did was based on ministry, but his ministry was based on finishing the work that his Father gave him to do. Jesus always had on his mind, how will this help me finish the work? His diet, his recreation, his time was spent in finishing the work that his Father sent him to do. Now, someone might be saying, what does his diet or recreation have to do with it? Isn't it possible for us to have a diet that would tear down our bodies? A diet that will destroy our health, that would make it impossible, or at the very least, very difficult for us to witness for God? What about our recreation? Are there things that we can do on our spare time that will take our minds off of God and away from Christ? Yes. Everything that Christ did, it was based on finishing the work he was sent to do. Jesus' mindset was to finish the work, and so it should be with us. Everything we do, everything we eat and drink, everything that we use for entertainment, everything that we do must be based on how can this help me finish the work. Now, what is the work that God has given us to do? Turn with me to Matthew, Matthew 28. In Matthew chapter 28, we will see what is the work that God has given us to do. Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18. It reads, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. This is the work that God has called us to do. We are to bring others into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. In our ministries, do we see this happening? In Jesus' ministry, didn't we see that happening? Not only did he win them, but did he keep them? Yes. Now, we know that not everyone he taught accepted the truth, but many did. And when Jesus talked about the 70, he said, Father, all the 70 that you have given me are still here and accounted for. We have to ask ourselves, are we seeing that same result in our ministries? Are people being baptized? And if they are they being baptized and staying in the truth? So many times we find that not to be so. Oftentimes we bring the people into the message, we show them God's truth, and then when they come to our homes and our churches, they see us partaking of the very things that we told them they needed to give up. This could be pertaining to our diet, our entertainment. They see us talking about one another. They even see us breaking the Sabbath. And we wonder why they leave. We hold all these different meetings. We tell everybody these things are bad. And then they see us eating them, enjoying and participating in the very things that we told them to give up. People are not looking for hypocrisy. It's all over the place. What people are looking for is the same thing that we find in Ministry of Healing on page 143. What she says is, the world needs now what it needed over 1900 years ago, a revelation of Christ. Jesus would not do anything the Bible says. Whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, Jesus knew that he had to keep his mind clear so that he could receive instruction and understand God's word, that he may finish the work that he had to do. And we must have our minds clear as well. If we would see Jesus now. We can't wait for Christ's second coming to see him. We must see Jesus now. And others must see him in us now. Many individuals come to the church and leave hating the offering of the Lord. Why? Because of the inconsistency of the character of the messengers. Something has to change. We have gotten stuck in the idea that the work is to have all of these meetings and tell everybody about a lot of things that we ourselves are not living. That will never finish the work. That's why we have to go back to the blueprint. Think about it. Most of us have talked about the Sunday law and what would take place at that time. But have we not all prepared for it? We have not warned our families about it. We have not been sharing the three angels' messages as we should. I and many others have expressed that we saw this COVID-19 as being a wake-up call for us. Just like the 10 virgins were awakened by the announcement of the bridegroom coming, there was just a short time before the bridegroom came after that announcement. There is a work that we must do before Jesus comes. To possess Christ is our first work. And to reveal him as one who is able to save to the uttermost all who come to him is our next work. We must accept Christ as our personal Savior, who is revealed to us by his Spirit. And God will stamp his likeness of Christ on us, on our souls. When others see the likeness of Christ in us, then the Spirit will be able to use us to draw them to himself. We must keep our eyes on Jesus now. In closing, let me share with you parts of Sister White's first vision entitled, Look a Little Higher. She says, while I was praying in the family altar, the Holy Ghost fell upon me, and I seemed to be rising higher and higher, far above the dark world. I turned to look for the Advent people in the world, but I could not find them, when a voice said to me, look again and look a little higher. At this, I raised my eyes and I saw a straight and narrow path cast up high above the world. On this path, the Advent people were traveling to the city, which was at the farther end of the path. They had a bright light that set up behind them at the beginning of the path, which an angel told me was the midnight cry. This light shone all along the path and gave light for their feet so that they might not stumble. If they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus, who was just before them, leading them to the city, they were safe. But soon some grew weary and said the city was a great way off. and they had expected to have entered it before, then Jesus would encourage them by raising his glorious right arm, and from his arm came a light which waved over the Advent band, and they shouted, Alleluia. Others rashly denied the light behind them and said that it was not God that had led them out so far. The light behind them went out, leaving their feet in perfect darkness, and they stumbled and lost sight of the mark of Jesus and fell off the path down into the dark and wicked world below. Soon we heard a voice. We heard the voice of God like many waters. When God spake, he poured upon us the Holy Spirit, and our faces began to light up and shine with the glory of God as Moses did when he came down from Mount Sinai. She goes on to describe heaven and all that she saw there, and then she says, soon we heard his lovely voice again saying, come, my people, you have come out of great tribulation and have done my will, suffered for me. Come in to supper, for I will gird myself and serve you. And we shouted, hallelujah, glory. Jesus told her, in a little while, if faithful, you shall both eat of the fruit of the tree of life and drink of the water of the fountain. We will see Jesus again, face to face. But we must see Jesus now. Oh, that we would see Jesus now. Please pray with me. Father, I pray, Lord, that you will send your Holy Spirit to be with us, Lord. Keep our minds focused on you, that we may finish the work. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us so much. You are such a faithful, merciful, and loving God. Our prayer, Father, as we depart today, that you will send your Spirit to be with us. Work in our hearts, Lord. Reveal to us the work that you desire for us to do in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, Father. Give us a burning in our hearts, Lord, to finish the work that you have raised us up as a people to do for this time, Lord. Help us to remember and see the signs around us that time is running out and there are souls to be saved, including ours, Lord. I pray this, Lord, in the name of your precious, precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.